Hi, it's Sabrina George for New Comedy Radio. Still interviewing James. Part three.
It's my therapy session.
Two things I wanted to just before we finish up with Super Gully. One is the story that I got in Edinburgh.
Please,
This was via Mel, Rez, or Louise, I don't know, was that Louise was in Melbourne.
Right.
And she had another girl in Super Girlies.
No.
Who at the very last minute dropped out for Edinburgh, but Louise was the one who engineered the Edinburgh thing.
No, God, no.
And she'd auditioned you at the very last minute and you'd stepped in at the last minute, which fitted in with your personas on stage.
No, we'd been working together.
And this is what everyone was saying. It was like, how amazing she managed to find such a good singer at the last minute's notice, and how amazing that Louise got the show together. And I don't know who put that around, but that was
that would have been Lou. She actually told Mel that I had never performed until I met her. And mind you, I'd been performing way before Lou had even started as well, even though she's a bit older than me, which I just have to put in.
How much older, 20 years?
About 35 years, I think. So she'd be pushing... Well, I'm 24 still. Let's see. no, she... Because I remember... Because she fired Mel as well, which was our PR girl who made us super girly. And didn't tell me that she'd fired Mel, and Mel rang me in tears, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, oh my God! Which was really hard, and she told me that Lou had said to her not to speak to me about anything, that I hadn't performed until I met Louise, and she taught me everything, and that all I did was show up and sing at gigs. Right. I had nothing to do with anything, and, you know, she liked to maintain that was how it worked, and it couldn't have been further from the truth, so...
Yeah.
But that was her way of controlling it and making it people would only speak to her about things. And I'm like,
this brings me on to the next bit, which I found really, really bizarre, because I like a sentence here, you know, nothing major, and you know, just sort of hung out a little bit. So you seem like, you know, classic performers, you know, a little bit of eccentricity here and there, but all right.
Oh, we're both bonkers in our own way, and I will happily admit that.
Most performers, although some are in denial about it, but, you know, it seemed to be all right. What I found staggering was the vitriol that came from other performers and from the press. The one particular thing which still blows me away, because I know him very well, is the lovely Malcolm Hay at Time Out. Super Girlie goes back to Australia, the most hated act in Britain or something, or the most hated act in the world. And I was just like, Malcolm, I mean, I've met him loads of times.
He hated us.
And I could
absolutely
not
hated us.
It, but everybody, not all of them, but so many, it wouldn't be just like, oh, they're not actually that good, or
it's
they're not
fucking horrible.
It's like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Like spitting venom.
Exactly. Where did that come from? Do you think that was Louise? Do you think that was just people didn't get it?
No, pretty much. Anyone who dealt with Louise ended up sort of being like, oh, I don't like them. So
that's fair enough. I don't like them. But to say the most hated...
Well, the thing is, we never did. We never performed in Australia as Super Girly. They didn't even know who we were. The only time we did stuff in Australia was when we did stuff with Elton John. But no one knew who we were. We built it over here. And I remember, though, our last year of Edinburgh, we so wanted to put it on our poster as, you know, the quotes from magazines. Because... they had let a printed letter go in saying Super Girly are a pair of useless cunts, right?
Who produced that?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, right.
But it was a letter that they printed. And because, like...
Who was they?
Time Out. They printed the letter. But they had a problem with us. They thought we weren't intellectual humour. And we're like, we never said we were. We are schoolyard humour, and we know that.
It was more than that. There was a real something about that created this absolute... loathing, and I was just like,
oh, I know.
I've never heard of an act get so much unpleasant.
Well, I think people either, you know, if you are successful, I guess, people either love you or absolutely fucking hate you, and there's no in between. And I don't think anyone went, oh, they're all right. They were either, they're useless, or I love them. There was no in between. And thank God, most people I met were the nice ones who really liked us. But I remember we wanted to put that on our poster, and our tour manager at the time went, you can't put that on. We're like, why not? Time Out, a pair of useless cunts. Like, and we just thought that would be the funniest thing to have on our promotional poster. But he wouldn't let us. He goes, I can't put cunts on your poster. And we're like,
so
why
is
not?
That what you did with most of the negative criticism? Just take it on as part of the fun of it all.
We'd say it during gigs.
It, right.
We'd pull out the thing. Apparently, this is the latest on us. Oh, look, Time Out. super girly are a pair of useless cunts. And like, we would just laugh about it. And, you know, the audience would get on side because they just go, well, at least they're laughing about it, not going, oh, I can't believe they hate us. We did not give a shit. We were like, excellent. Time Out mentioned us twice this week. Great. Someone wrote a letter. Someone responded to it. Brilliant. Okay. And that's how we looked at it. We thought, well, people are talking about us, so it can't be that bad.
And your ads were being paid either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't care.
No, it was...
Because then it makes people go, really? They're that bad? I want to go and see them.
If you're reading it out to the audience, they're actually able to judge for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we're like, well, you know, I'm really sorry. So all you guys have no fucking idea what a good show is. So their Time Out are saying you guys are stupid. Yeah! And then we just like, you know, go on one.
Do you think there was an element of sexism or...
Oh, completely.
Anti-Australianism or...
Sexism, and they didn't like girls doing comedy. That first year in Edinburgh, they hated the fact that we were girls singing and we were classed as comedy. And that was it. Like, we all of the stand-ups were like, well, you know, you're not really a comedy act. And we're like... We never said we were. They just put us here. We have no idea. Like, we were so naive at that point. So we're like...
Well, it would be the only section that would really be applicable for you, not really theatre.
Well, we're not, really. I mean, we played theatres in London. Like, we did we had a West End run, you know.
Did you?
Which makes
Where
me
was
laugh.
In West End?
At the New Ambassadors, opposite the Ivy.
Oh, right.
And we'd perform there. Like, we had two seasons there, and that was... we had so much fun doing it. Like, big theatres, we were just like, costume changes, you know. Just,
we have arrived.
Oh, it was great fun doing that. But, you know, it just...
So the end came at the right time for you?
Oh, completely. Yeah. I couldn't have done any more. I'd lost my energy to do it because I didn't want to.
Apart from anything else.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. And I thought I should be enjoying it. I've always enjoyed performing. Why? There's got to be some reason. And then I just stepped out for like a good year and a half. I didn't perform.
What did you do?
I got a job being a door bitch at Soho House.
Oh, did you?
So, who I'm still really on good terms with, and I still help them out when they need someone. They're great. But then I'd been writing a lot for projects that I was doing, got back into teaching and doing dance work, so now I'm doing loads of that.
And are you writing them songs? Or
yeah, because I've got a rock band, so now we're performing and doing loads of stuff with that, and I have never been happier now. Supergirly had amazing stuff, and I had such a good time when it was good. And the stuff we got to do was mind-blowing, considering we were two chicks from Australia who had no fucking clue. But now I'm a lot happier. I'm doing what I want, writing stuff that I like, and getting to perform with my band too. It's just amazing. So do that, and I work as a dancer.
What teaching?
I teach, and I teach at Dance Works in Bond Street, and I also teach pole. So I do pole dancing too, which is great, and I love, keeps you fit, that's for sure.
I know a couple of female stand-ups who've done pole dancing.
Yeah.
They say it's the most bizarrely empowering and fabulous thing
to do. Really, you walk out bouncing off the walls, and I've performed that a few times, like just at like Too Much and like places like that, which has been great, and I put shows on there, like burlesque shows and things, but the main thing is the rock band. So,
what's the rock band name? Give us all the
general. I shall. Self-promo. We're called Cativa, which is C-A-T-T-I-V-A, and it means naughty girl, and I'm the only girl in it.
In what language?
Italian, of course. Going back to my heritage, drawing on my family roots. So we're called Cativa, and we're like sort of pop rock, sort of a bit pink, a bit...
Is it an all-girl band?
No, I'm the only girl, and the rest are fabulous, gorgeous boys, and they're unreal. And they work so hard, and one thing that stayed with me, I never rehearse. I just sing songs into their voicemail and go, learn this, and I'll sing it. And so they've come together, we have a rehearsal, and then we do gigs. And
is there any shadows of the super girly stuff on Cativa?
The campness of my outfits, generally, and the way I am on stage, I mean, I still have quite a... It's always a bit comic when I do stuff. I mean, the songs are not... comedy songs by any means,
right.
But like my lead into them and that.
But they're original songs,
yeah.
They're not covers.
No, we do a couple of covers, but they're more like rock versions of songs you wouldn't think would be rock. And, you know, just stuff that I like, really, like ABBA and things that we rock. So we do a rock version of Mamma Mia, which is... so much fun, and it always gets people just going, no way! So, which is great. And I found that very comical when I wanted to do that. And my band were like, we're not playing ABBA. I'm like, yeah, yeah, but let's do it like this. I said, do whatever you want. Make it as thrashy as you want. And I said, because, you know, I sing, so I can make it sound all right, but just do what you want with the music. So, and these guys are amazing. And I've got Harry Parfitt, who's Rick Parfitt from Status Quo's younger son. He's in my band, and he's spectacularly talented, like, can play everything, which is really annoying.
So how did you get your band together?
Supergirlie finished.
You went to sleep for a week.
Yeah, went to sleep. It was a magical week. I was learning guitar throughout Supergirlie well. And I had a guitarist, like guitar teacher, and I said, I want to start putting these down because I'm quite, you know, enjoying this. And I was playing my own stuff then and singing. And he introduced me to a guy who I did some basic recording with. And then I said, I want to do live work. And he knew a guitarist. So I got this guitarist, Gary, on board, who's like a genius guy. And then it just fell through that. Oh, I need another drummer. Okay, so audition for drummers. And then I needed a bass player. And my boyfriend at the time, he used to be in a rock band, and his friend was a bass player. So he jumped in and played. And then I got another guitarist. And then I got this. And we just built that way. And since I've replaced my guitar, the guitarists are the same. I've got a new bass player, though, who's... I find they're the most trouble bass players. Everyone else is cool. And they're just amazing. And that's how they came about. And they have worked with me for a couple of years now. And they're just so good. And so we've just been gigging. And
where do you gig?
The Rock Garden in Covent Garden, where we used to do pop, which is now punk, in Soho. We do... Where else? The Barfly. We're going to be doing In on the Green, in one in Shepherd's Bush and one in Ladbroke Grove.
Do Edinburgh this year?
No. No. Karen wanted to take my burlesque show up there a couple of years back, but I don't want to. I'd rather do my band, and if she wants to have a band up there doing her end of night stuff, I'll do that, but I wouldn't do it as...
What's the burlesque show?
It was called Meow. And it was me and twins.
It doesn't exist anymore.
We still do it for corporate stuff when we get hired, okay. But I've sort of totally focused more on the band because I thought, otherwise I was just getting, just so much going on. And I was like, I don't know even what to say I do anymore. So yeah. I thought, all right, if I say that I do the band and then I do choreography and whatever for people, and that's great. So that's where I'm at the moment. And you can check us out. We have our MySpace, all of that, which is Kativa UK, selfless shameless promotion, CATTIVA UK, and just check us out. We're fun.
And what do you want to happen with the band? Where do you want it to go?
Well, at the moment, we're recording quite a bit, so I want to get that signed, basically, to a record label, and I want to tour, like do support acts and tour for people at the moment, like big names. I've sort of talked to Harry about what's his dad doing and do they need a support act, so I'm having fun doing that, going, Harry, and his dad's played with me on stage before and he's just great, and he was like, I need to work with you, you're a really good vocalist. I'm like, thank you, Rick Parfitt of Status Quo, oh my god, like just freaking out. And like my auntie's obviously rapt because she has loved him since she was a teenager. So
it's really weird, this friend from New York, who I consider quite sort of in on things, she's never heard of Status Quo.
They were not big in America. They were huge in Australia, huge over here, and nothing really in America.
That really shocks me. It still shocks me.
It was nuts. So, but they're great, and I know the whole sort of family, because the older son, Rick, I sing with as well at, like, different events and stuff, and he's hilarious, so he's a nut. They're a great bunch, though. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's actually a really good singer, too, so he's fun. He's a
touring really appeals to you. You love that world.
I love touring. Yeah. Doing it live and touring, that's where I'm at my best, and I know that. So
telly, film, you're not that bothered?
Telly, yes. I do presenting and stuff when it comes up. But, yeah, I like being live more than anything. So.
Are you going to stay in the UK?
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future?
Oh, I've been here 10 years now, so... Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Unless we get signed in America, of course, and then I will move. But
have you done any work in America?
I've done some stuff. I've got a producer that I do some stuff with out there, who's ace. I've been using that word so much today. But he's cool, and actually, I know, ace. Oh my god. But yeah, he's really cool, and we sort of throw ideas back and forth to each other quite a bit. But I've got a friend out there who's got a production company who wants to film my first video with my band, and he's wicked. He's like one of Madonna's dancers, and he's just a dude. So doing stuff there, and just sort of seeing how it goes at the moment. We're just sort of wanting to get basically a deal on board so that we can then tour with it and run with it. So
and just keep building up a body of work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Jay, that's absolutely fantastic.
Hurrah!
Talk for some more, but I think that's therapy for one.
Thank you. How much do I owe you?
Well, if I'm doing Louise as well, by what's it, osmosis, about £3,000.